Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
His Last Text by Rebecca Lake. His Last Text by Rebecca Lake. A romantic anniversary dinner, a heartfelt message, then silence. Anna Stanton's world shatters when she learns her boyfriend Wyatt's corporate jet has crashed. With the company dragging its feet on the search, Anna takes matters into her own hands, assembling a team of volunteers to find the man she loves. But as she retraces Wyatt's last known steps, danger lurks at every turn. Her uncle, driven by an insatiable greed for a mysterious key mentioned in her grandmother's will, seems to be pulling strings from the shadows. And who is this new aunt that suddenly appeared in her life? In the rugged mountain terrain, Anna must unravel dark family secrets, outmaneuver a sinister plot, trust her instincts as she builds unlikely alliances. With each passing day, Anna's determination grows. Wyatt's last text won't be the final chapter in their love story, not if she has anything to say about it.
On this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense, I'm delighted to be talking with Rebecca Lake, who grew up in the rural West, where gold rush towns, remote caves, and the rugged Idaho mountains stirred her imagination. And I'm delighted we're going to get to chat about writing, and I'm sure we'll have a wonderful time. So welcome to my show, Rebecca.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So I always love this question. As romantic suspense writers, I like to know, why did you pick this genre?
Well, I think the genre picked me because
okay.
I envisioned writing, sweet romantic romance novels, kind of like the Hallmark stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing, and I just, you know, the suspense just kept creeping back into the story. And I just really, you know, realized that I liked that in the story. And I've always enjoyed reading mysteries and suspense, so it probably shouldn't have come as a surprise. But I will tell you, I really started off thinking I would just write romance, and, you know, that suspense just kept creeping in.
I feel you, Rebecca, because when I'm reading a romance, every once in a while I'm like, so what are they looking for? Isn't someone after them? I'm like, wait a minute, you're just reading a romance. And I like to read them. They can be very enjoyable. But occasionally I do wonder why there isn't anything suspenseful or mysterious about the book. So that's why I write romantic suspense, is because I keep imagining things are going to happen and then they don't. And then I'm like, why don't they? And I'm, yeah, gotta put them in the book. So what about plot inspiration? I love this question too, because I know I get asked this a lot from readers, and, you know, how do you come up with your plot? And for me, I'll go first. For me, the answer is anywhere and everywhere, and I really just can't pinpoint one thing. It really just depends. Some stories were, you know, something I read in a newspaper or an article, and some will be just an idea I had while washing the dishes. I mean, it's very varied. So what about your inspiration?
Well, I would agree with all of that. It's really kind of from everywhere. I'll start, you know, typing, and something will pop into my head, and then, or I'll hear something and it'll just be interesting. Or even when you're writing, all of a sudden you realize an experience, or just like I described with that article, something will just come to mind where it just fits. And what's super exciting for me is, especially with the second book, is, you know, I'm going along and there's a piece in the story, and all of a sudden you realize that something you put in book one ties to book two, and you didn't even realize you were going to do that. And it's really a fun feeling when it kind of just starts tying together like that. And like I said, I just, you know, one story had a little bit based on the historical marker I saw, and it just intrigued me, and it just kind of stayed with me. And then I found a way to incorporate that. it's interesting where inspiration comes from.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's just, and sometimes it's very interesting the way our minds work, because I'll often have that in a book, like you mentioned, something in book one tying to something in book two that you didn't really totally plot out from, and I'll have that happen. Oh, that's why I put that in chapter 10. Okay, yeah, okay.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is kind of funny. I mean, it's either funny, it's amazing, Rebecca, or it's just plain scary weird the way our minds work. So I'm going to go with amazing on that, but I've been told it's a little scary weird by some people. Are like, really? Like, my kids are like, Mom, you're weird. I said, I know I'm weird. It's okay. I write romantic suspense. It's all good. It is all good. So what is your, speaking of children and family, my family think, well, some of my daughters think it's okay. My mom, of course, is my biggest supporter because that's what moms do. And, I have an aunt, I'm mostly supportive, and my husband's great. He doesn't read fiction, so I've kind of banned him from reading my books because he just doesn't read fiction, and he read one and was trying to, like, before I was published it, to try to edit it. And I was like, no, you don't understand. No, it's got to stop. You've got to stop. So he supports me by letting me go to writers' conferences, not letting me, but, holding down the home front while I go and do these things and cheering me on and stuff. So what does your family think about your writing romantic suspense?
Well, they're very supportive, and as you were saying that, I even think that might be a thread of why I ended up bringing the suspense in as well, is my husband was actually my first beta reader. And I tell you, the
Ah.
poor guy, oh yeah, and the first draft of the first book, oh my gosh, it was an explosion of words, and he gritted through it. And sometimes he'd only get 20 pages at a time, and then he'd get them back and they were completely different. And so yeah, he's been very supportive. I mean, he gets a gold star for sure.
Oh, that's great. It's nice that he can do that. Just like I said, my husband, he just didn't get it, and so it was, he was just didn't understand why I was doing the things I was doing. So I'm like, yeah, you can support me in other ways, and everyone's much happier with that arrangement. So,
Yeah.
but
Well,
I do know. Yeah, go ahead.
I think writing is so, different. If you're not the person, sitting there at the type or at the computer, it really is hard to kind of get that feel, isn't it? It's just such a different dynamic.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you need to write? Is there anything absolutely essential for you to write?
Well, I do find with the first draft, I really do the best with quiet. It really does help me if I kind of get going. But I think coffee is always good. Comfy socks, coffee, and a little bit of quiet. I used to joke that I just needed to hook up an IV and drip the coffee in and get going. But yeah, so just for the first draft, then when I'm Once I'm past that part, then it's not so, I don't need as much of the quiet, but really to kind of get it started, I do. I know everyone's different. Some people, are inspired with noise or a coffee shop, but for my first draft, I kind of need the quiet.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, Rebecca. I do. I have an office. It doesn't have any windows. It's in our basement. What's up? We have a Rambler, so it's a full finished livable space. And I can close my door and just be silent if I want, and I like that. Definitely like that. So, what has been the most rewarding thing for you about writing romantic suspense?
Well, this is kind of I don't know if this is a correct answer, but I get excited sometimes when someone didn't realize they liked romantic suspense, and then they tell me, maybe in a review or even in person, how surprised they were that they liked the genre. they thought they would only like mystery and they wouldn't want any romance in there, or they only like suspense, or whatever it was that they read. And then they read this story either for whatever reason and picked it up and then just found that, hey, you know, I do like other genres. And I even had one person tell me, you know, they kind of started reading again. And I just think that's cool. So I think that's rewarding, and maybe that's just about writing in general, but I think it's pretty exciting when someone reads a story and then decides, you know, I can expand my reading horizon, I guess.
Yeah, no, I love it that when people take a chance and they'll read it and then they discover, hey, this is not bad. And you're always like, yeah, oh, good. I'm glad it's not bad. Especially when it's something that I wrote, you know. Yeah, don't tell me you didn't like it. Do you have a favorite among your books? Now, I get asked this sometimes, and I'm always like, usually it's the last one I wrote, I said, or it could be one that was kind of dear. But it's really hard to pick favorites. So I'm really kind of like, it's just like asking me which of my kids is my favorite. And I have four kids, so I'm like, you know. So can you pick a favorite book of yours and why, if you can?
Well, I don't have, you know, a large list of books at this time. But I will say, and not because we're discussing it, but His Last Text really is my favorite. And it's for multiple reasons. And one is just that it just came together so well for me that it just felt like it was, you know, it was just waiting to be written. And then also, you know, there were a couple of characters that I can truly tell you, I just smiled when I was typing the dialogue or something else. And I found that pretty fun. So it kind of endeared it to me. So I really do like His Last Text, and you know, I hope, you know, others do too, but I definitely enjoyed writing it.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. I think we have time for one more question. So we'll go with how do you connect with your characters when you're writing?
Oh, well, that's an interesting question. That's a good one, because it's always a hot mm-hmm. topic about how do you develop, you know, character development and kind of interacting. Mm-hmm. But really with me, it's, you know, so far, it's just been that I start, you know, I just start my story, and as it goes on and events occur and trials happen, I get to know them better and better. And by the middle of the story, you know, you just feel so familiar with them, and the character seems so real that you feel like you know them. And so I guess it's just by growing with them as they go through the story and the challenges.
Well, thank you so much for sharing about writing and your process and all of that on my show today.
Okay, well, thank you for having me.
You've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I've been chatting with Rebecca Lake, and you can stay tuned for an excerpt from one of her latest romantic suspenses, His Last Text.
Now an excerpt from His Last Text by Rebecca Lake. Monday, 7:30 a.m. Anna Stanton stepped out of the past and into her future. The chime of his text, a tease, frenzied her heart. Wyatt checked the door. She hurried in obedience. Heart-shaped balloons danced in the breeze on her front porch. A red envelope dangled from the string as it tugged against the shimmering quartz rock. Nerves shivering, her dreams about to come true, she opened the envelope and savored the handwritten note. Be ready at 6 for a night of magic, my love. Wyatt. Dialing Casey, her perky assistant, and Allen Corporation, Anna planned the day. I'm starting the week off right. I'll work from home today. She twisted the balloon string around her ring finger. Well, I hope to get some work done. Everything okay? Wyatt planned a special surprise. A gleeful chuckle escaped before she could snatch it back in. We're celebrating our first anniversary tonight. You're kidding already? Time flies, they say. We beat the odds, Wyatt and I. That unexpected call, the letter, they upended my world, but they brought me back to Idaho. To him. Now here I am. Here we are. She cringed. Wow, that sounds ridiculous and sappy. Sorry, I'm all over the place right now. Caught up in the excitement, I guess. Enjoy! Glad our chief legal officer is setting an example by showing that life isn't all about work. Gives the rest of us hope and proves we never know what's next. I'm trying not to overthink for once and savor the entire day. You think he's going to? Don't jinx it. Right, Casey giggled. Happy anniversary. Wyatt and Anna, neighbors on the mountain. Two young children who struggled to create their own imaginary world. Her mother, a single parent, battled emotional and financial adversity. His mentally unstable mother abandoned him. His father coped by sending Wyatt to his grandparents, Anna's neighbors. 1 year ago, they found each other again, their bond now stronger with rekindled love. Would tonight... Tick, tick, tick. The gears clicked in the grandfather clock they purchased at Forever Antique Shop in Sun Valley last month on a weekend trip. Tick, tick, tick. The wall of windows tickled her imagination as she envisioned him sitting on the outdoor living patio, rocking, fingers running through his hair, the flaming fire reflected in his eyes. Unable to focus on work, she unhooked some dresses from her closet and dumped them onto her bed. She selected the little black dress she wore during their first official date at the quaint diner by the river, one hand trailing down the soft fabric she warmed. What a night. She inhaled a sweet breath and strung the pearl necklace in place. His fingers had tickled her neck as he fastened it under the mistletoe. His Christmas gift included the necklace, accompanied by a romantic kiss. Maybe in her study, focus would return. There, she opened her laptop and tapped the keys. Still, she remained distracted, listening for the deep, brassy dong announcing each new hour. Her heart quickened when the clock sounded five times. A smile curled her lips. All jittery, she dressed, freshened her makeup, brushed her hair, and waited at the front window like an anxious child. When his silver four-wheel drive crunched up the driveway, she stepped back out of view. Then his athletic frame swayed toward the door, toward her. His handsome face could make any girl swoon. Even now, Anna nearly purred when the door swung open and his eyes sparkled at her. He swaggered closer, let out a whistle under his breath, and handed her a wildflower bouquet. Oh, Wyatt! She hugged the colorful blooms to her chest. They remind me of the flowers you picked for me when we were kids. I'm glad you remembered. His hand brushed against hers. We owe that treehouse in the squatty tree. I don't want to forget it. I hid the good memories with the bad ones, but now they've returned. Her back to him, she nestled the flowers in a vase. I remember running to the treehouse, hoping to find a sweet note or flowers from you. She leaned into him, let his hand guide her face around, and pressed a simmering kiss on his lips, then moistened hers with her tongue. Ready to start the night? His husky words ruffled the hair by her ear. Her hand in his, he escorted her to the truck. With a slight bow, he swung the passenger door open. Then, his grin mischievous, he blocked her path. What's the secret code? His woodsy masculine scent stirred her overactive senses. She rolled her eyes to hide his effect on her and pecked a kiss on his warm cheek. Not letting it go at that, he wrapped one arm around her waist. An unexpected but welcomed shiver tantalized her, and he lifted her chin. His fingers brushed her jaw, his lips molded to hers, and his snug arm secured her. Her knees weakened, her emotions draining her strength. You had the code. She gulped in a breath. Her fingers smoothed her lips, the tingle lingering from his kiss. He helped her settle in, the drive no more than 30 minutes. The restaurant smelled of hickory smoke and garlic. The band played Thinking of You by Loggins and Messina, one of their favorites. When he pulled her closer, his breath warmed the back of her neck. They danced as the band played If by Bread for a slower, more romantic tone. The moment's magic overpowering her senses, she closed her eyes and dreams glossed her mind. Startled by a tap on Wyatt's shoulder, she glared at the man who avoided looking her in the eyes. I'm needed outside, my love, Wyatt whispered in her ear. Startled, the warmth from his arms removed, a blanket of ice enveloped her. She rubbed her brow, then followed his path. Within minutes, he headed back her way. The private detective I hired has a lead.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhamakerfiction.com.